Good morning. I am Jonathan New, and I welcome you on this Father's Day and this Juneteenth weekend to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus, and I pray that by our worship this day, we might be in a time of holy remembering and sacred soul searching. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us via our live streamed or recorded worship. Though our worship is taking place in separate places, we are yet one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are welcomed warmly by this congregation. We have a few announcements we want to lift up this morning. I couldn't have this worship service without a number of people who are making it possible. So we give special thanks to Hank Zaretta and Randy Brewer for all the technical work that they do behind the scenes to make this happen. And also for our other worship leaders this day, Sarah Lynn Keller and Carolyn Cheever, Gail Martin, Wayne Zaretta, and Tom Foster. And we extend a special thank you to Nate, Janine, and Rachel Keady, who are offering special music later on during our worship service. We have a time of post-worship fellowship via Zoom around 11:30, just following worship, so we encourage you to be a part of that. You'll find a link to it in the link emailing that was sent out earlier this week and also on our church website, and for those of you who have downloaded the church's bulletin as well for today. During our worship service, we will have a time of reaffirmation of our open and affirming statement. That's going to happen just at the end of our announcements and just before a time of candle lighting. And during that time of candle lighting, we invite you to have a candle with you. So together we might light the light of Christ and have it with us during our worship. We offer public prayer celebrations and concerns during our worship, and many of those are in the bulletin, but we also invite you up through the time of the reflection to email those public prayer concerns to us so that we might include them in the morning's worship. So you can do that at admin@firstchurchnatick.org. Also want to say a little bit about a Juneteenth emphasis that we're going to be having for this worship service. I want to say up front that for a predominantly white congregation, this has a different kind of meaning than for those who are observing it, who are of African slave descent. And yet there is a place in this observance and story for its lifting up and considering by white folks. So on this day, we're going to share a bit more about what Juneteenth is, but we are also, for now, wanting to keep in mind that we are celebrating with people of African slave descent, freedom from slavery that was achieved in 1865, and equally important, we are dedicating ourselves to the ongoing work of establishing their full freedom in this day. Sarah Lynn, I know you have a few announcements as well.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. So I want to invite everyone to join us on Wednesday at noon for a time of connection and prayer. And those links are available from the church website or the link newsletter. You're also invited to an all-church Zoom conversation after worship next Sunday. So June 28th, right after worship, we will have a time of conversation. And if you cannot make it to that time, there will be a second time offered of Tuesday, June 30th at 7 p.m. So the Coordinating Council voted unanimously to continue virtual worship until at least the end of the summer. And we want to invite everyone to be a part of a conversation about how we can be our church community together during this time when we are still primarily a virtual church. Our church building is closed, but church is still wide open, and we want you to be a part of that conversation. So again, after church, instead of our regular post-worship fellowship. And also, just a reminder that Jonathan is available during the week to provide pastoral care if need be, so please be in touch with him for any of your pastoral care needs, either by phone or by email. And we will be starting a new anti-racism circle. I know we had had some talk about this being possibly two different groups. We have determined that we'll start with one. And so everyone is invited into this one circle. Thursday evenings from 7 to 8:30, and that's going to begin July 2nd and run the five Thursdays through July. So there will be more information in the Good Word and in a letter coming out to you soon. And please join Carolyn and Gail as they lead us in a reaffirmation of our open and affirming statement.
Good morning. In honor of Pride Month across the United States and in observance of the UCC ONA Sunday, which is today, and in celebration of the Supreme Court decision announced this week, we are bringing our covenant aloud into worship today. Please join us in reaffirming the First Congregational Church of Natick's open and affirming covenant. The First Congregational Church of Natick affirms the dignity and worth of every person.
We are called to express the love and welcome of Christ.
We celebrate the diversity of God's creation and the gifts, talents, and resources of all who strive to build a church that is faithful to God. We, therefore, covenant to be an open and affirming congregation.
We embrace and support those who experience rejection and find themselves in exile from spiritual community.
We welcome people of every ability, race, culture, gender, economic circumstance, gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation.
Thank you, Carolyn and Gail. Let us now light our candles together, remembering by these friendly flames that the Holy Spirit makes us one in the body of Christ, no matter how distance or time might separate us. And also to remind us that we dedicate ourselves to the ongoing work of welcome and inclusion that our ONA statement represents. Let us now light our candles together. Let us continue our worship now with our responsive call to celebration.
Please join us in the responsive call to celebration. Siblings in Christ, as we gather in the welcome of God's love,
as we gather in the joy of our unity in Christ,
as we gather in the power of the Spirit,
let us listen for the voice of God.
Let us worship God,
who has spoken and still speaks to those who attend to the roar or the whisper of the Holy One.
Thank you.
Please join us in the opening prayer as we say together,
O Lord, we come this morning, knee bowed and body bent before thy throne of grace. O Lord, this morning, bow our hearts beneath our knees and our knees in some lonesome valley. We come this morning like empty pitchers to a full fountain with no merits of our own. O Lord, open up a window of heaven and lean out far over the battlements of glory and listen this morning. Amen.
I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, or placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace, or of offering the word namaste and a bow which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes the divine within you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Though we are—
Good morning, we're the Keedy family. Good morning, we're the Keedy family. And like you, we've been having lots of emotions about events in our country. And so here's a song.
Whatever you do to the least of my brothers,
Beloved, I want to lift up the Keedy family for Nate, who wrote that song in response to world events and events specifically in this country happening right now. And I want to thank the rest of the Keedy family for making that music possible. Our faith calls us to respond and love one another. Reminds us that love is not just a noun, that love is a verb, that love involves a doing. And so how we respond to situations that require the healing balm of love is right at the heart of our very faith. So thank you again to the Keedy family for sharing their gifts this day. And it reminds us of the many gifts that we share, whether that's money or whether it's the talents and abilities that we have, our energy, our time that we commit to bringing a world into being that doesn't exist now, but yet we are called to bring into being. So let us pray now in a prayer of thanksgiving. Oh God, through the offering of these gifts, may we become a more open people, open-minded in hearing your word and wisdom, open-hearted and healing a broken world, open-handed in heeding your call for charity and enacted love. With thanks for all good gifts, we present a portion of our substance and the whole of ourselves. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 27 through 39. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come to bring peace. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know. I'm feeling a lot of that these days. I don't know how we got here, and I don't know how a white police officer could kneel on the neck of a Black man and drain the life out of him while he pled for his life. I don't know, but I am glimpsing my place in that story too, as a white person who thought himself so very far distant from it. I don't know how I haven't really heard the Black people who have been trying to tell that story for so long. I don't know how to be a white Christian leader in this time, or what to make of some scriptures like Genesis 21 from today's appointed lectionary texts, which begins, "The child grew and was weaned, but Sarah saw the son of Hagar and the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. She said to Abraham, 'Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac.'" Now, I don't know what to do with that unholy story and the racism and the classism so deeply entwined, not only in our country, but also in our sacred texts. There is so much that I don't know. Like until this week, how I didn't know very much about Juneteenth. Juneteenth, a contraction of June and 19th, commemorates June 19th, 1865, when Union General Gordon Granger read federal orders in Galveston, Texas, that all previously enslaved people in Texas were now free. So here's the original Juneteenth order just recently found in the National Archives. It was an order, however, back then that came far, far too late. The Emancipation Proclamation had formally freed slaves 2.5 years earlier. The executive who had signed that order, Abraham Lincoln, was already dead. And the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery was well on its way to ratification. But Texas was the most remote of slave states, and with few Union troops in Texas, enforcement was inconsistent and it was slow. Henry Louis Gates Jr. points out that the order of June 19th, 1865, wasn't exactly instant magic for most of the Lone Star State's 250,000 slaves. Masters decided when and how to announce this news, or they just waited for the government agent to show up to do it, and often they delayed until after the harvest had occurred. Those who acted on the news did so at their peril, Gates tells us, recalling how former slaves making their way from plantations after hearing the news were often tracked and then shot or hung. And he tells of one extreme case of a former slave named Katie Darling, whose mistress withheld the information from her and continued to treat her as a slave for 6 more years. This makes Juneteenth all the more remarkable. Defying confusion and delay, terror and violence, the newly freed Black men and women of Texas now had a date to rally around, says Gates. And he goes on to say, in one of the most inspiring grassroots efforts of the post-Civil War period, they transformed June 19th from a day of unheeded military orders into their own annual right. Juneteenth, beginning 1 year later in 1866. For the freed slaves of Texas and their descendants, like these who gathered to celebrate in the year 1900, Juneteenth was, as Gates said, a way to gather lost family members, measuring progress against freedom and inculcating rising generations with values of self-improvement and racial uplift. Today, Juneteenth is a day of celebration that includes family gatherings and cookouts and storytelling and with about ancestors, music and dance and readings from Black artists and lectures and exhibitions on Black heritage and culture. It's celebrated in most major US cities and is recognized as a special day of observance in almost every state. Texas made it a paid holiday in 1980. And this week, Virginia and New York followed suit. And momentum is gaining for a national Juneteenth holiday. But while Juneteenth commemorates the end of slavery, it's also about marking the journey, or excuse me, it's about marking the beginning of a journey into freedom. Marking the beginning of a journey into freedom. As J. Cameron Carter, Indiana University professor of religious studies, has written, Juneteenth is a day of delayed celebration and enforcement of a freedom that had in fact already been in place for over 2 years. It reminds us that the work of emancipation is always ahead of us and that there is always more freedom to be realized. These days, Juneteenth is not only a day to celebrate, but it's a day to speak out. On a UCC-sponsored webinar this past Friday, I heard Black organizers say clearly that Juneteenth is about remembering one form of slavery and how it has ended and lamenting that it still exists in other forms. And of the need to remember, bringing all of Black lives and experience that's been rendered asunder over the course of this terrible history to a place of wholeness again by continuing to rebel and resist lingering and pervasive white supremacy. I turn to the thoughts of the Reverend Dr. Otis Moss III, senior minister at Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago, Illinois, to deal with some of my not knowing. And I found that we have something in common. He doesn't know either. Set to record a prepared morning message for Sunday, May 31st, he was confronted with the news of the killing of George Floyd. Just 2 weeks earlier, he'd preached a powerful requiem for Ahmaud Arbery titled The Cross and the Lynching Tree. I encourage you to find it on YouTube and to watch it. It's a powerful, powerful sermon. But for May 31st, Moss chucked his prepared sermon. The death of Ahmaud Arbery was heartbreaking, he said. The death of Breonna Taylor was soul-wrenching. Witnessing the death of George Floyd has drained my soul. And he added, I offer a question and not a sermon. When is someday? Referencing that civil rights hymn we sang earlier, he asked again, when is that someday? Is someday when there are no more bones to break, throats to choke, hearts to stop? When is someday? This is a question that is that is haunting me now. I see too that it is not a question that's ever really been at the forefront of my mind. As a young person, I remember being aware that I had been born in 1965, 100 years after the end of the Civil War. And that seemed like a long time ago. And how distant the suffering of Black slaves and Black people. Raised in a little Massachusetts hill town, scarcely a Black person in view, how far away that history seemed. As I grew up, I cherished a Northerner identity. My parents left Texas in the early 60s, before I was born. To my grandmother, I was her Yankee grandbaby. In part, they left because Texas culture of that time was narrow-minded religiously and socially. And my social justice-oriented father, a Southern Baptist minister, sought a broadening of mind at Boston University, where Martin Luther King Jr. had earned a doctorate not too much earlier in 1955. So he and my family went north. He'd go on to leave Southern Baptists and unbelievably become a United Church of Christ minister. And I remember trips to Texas to visit family over the years, marred by the first racial slurs that I ever remember hearing. And my father's righteous indignation and anger with family members with whom he just couldn't see eye to eye on race and a whole lot of other matters. I was proud to carry my parents' values. And Mom and Dad, if you are watching, and I hope you are, I still am glad. And I was so glad that I didn't live in the South. But as far as I got from Texas, I didn't get nearly as far from racism as I believed. In fact, I have been largely blinkered to the racism that pervades the fabric of all America, no matter the liberal institutions where I was educated or the progressive church of my upbringing and of my calling, or where I've lived, the pastoral environs of central Vermont or the polite suburbia of Concord, Massachusetts, or even the diverse People's Republic of Cambridge, where I live now. 155 years since the end of slavery, 56 years after the Civil Rights Act passed, a Black president, I thought that someday was not far off. In fact, I thought that maybe someday had arrived. I didn't know. But finally, because of video images that I couldn't deny, my gaze has now been unflinchingly drawn to how deeply rooted white supremacy still is, and how I am a participant in and beneficiary of systemic racism that keeps Black people down and white people up. And let me just be clear about something right here. This is not about me finally becoming woke. I am about the least woke person I know. That's not what this is about. It is only about me seeing something today that I had turned my gaze away from before. And this is not about me trying to deal with my shame and my guilt and looking to Black people to forgive me. That's not their work to do. I don't expect that for them to forgive me. It is my job as a white person to do my own work. Self-examination, and in my case as a white Christian, to turn to my faith tradition for a faithful path and for a faithful way to respond. So earlier this week, I didn't know, frankly, what to do with any of the lectionary readings that were appointed for this Sunday. But early this week, I certainly didn't know what to do with another lectionary reading for today. That one that we heard earlier, that one that I've never preached on before, that one that has that imagery, that sword imagery that I have never liked. But I am coming around to this scripture now. And I think I know what it might mean for us. And I'm just going to be perfectly honest here and tell you that it scares me a bit. It scares me a bit. Because this is a scripture about the cost of discipleship, about proclaiming the truth from the rooftops, about placing that truth even above our closest family relationships, because acting like we're really all siblings in the family of God is an even higher call than loyalty to racist family values. About taking up our own crosses and following Jesus by the light of that truth into a new day. And for me and for all of us white folks, about losing our lives of propped up privilege so we help forge a life for everyone that is blessed. That is not a comforting message for these uncomfortable times, but it orients me to my colleague's question. Reverend Moss concluded his message reiterating that he doesn't know the answer to the question, when is someday? But he urged, join in asking the question, when is someday? And let us begin to build someday. Like him, I do not know when someday is, but I do know that it's not going to begin if I stick with business as usual and with my head in the sand, and if I don't accept discipleship's cost. On Father's Day, I am going to claim a personal privilege as a child and as a father. This is not the world that my father wanted for me or anyone else's child. This is not the one that I want for my children or my children's children or anyone's children. Our parent God, to whom Jesus taught us to pray, cannot possibly want this either. So let us dedicate ourselves then to enduring, to ending these days, not enduring them, to ending these days of denial and all too much oppression and violence and death, and with purposeful action, move more fully into the days of the realm of love that we say that we are yearning for, and that Jesus called us to help bring into being by doing our work, being clear about what our work is, and not stopping until it's done. May our loving God make it so. Amen. We come to a time when we lift up celebrations and concerns, and there are many that we would find in our church's bulletin. We invite you to take a look at those. We are also, however, celebrating two Supreme Court decisions this week. We are an immigrant welcoming congregation, and we'll be lifting up that covenant in the days to come, but we lift up and celebrate a decision by the Supreme Court blocking the administration's attempt to rescind the so-called DREAMers, or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, DACA. Under the Obama program, qualified individuals brought to the U.S. as children were given temporary legal status if they graduated from high school or were honorably discharged from the military if they passed a background check. So for now, DACA stands, and the administration has been blocked in its attempt to get rid of DACA. So we celebrate that. And secondly, as an ONA congregation, we celebrate a landmark decision by the Supreme Court this week that protects gay and transgender workers from discrimination in the workplace. Justices ruled that an existing federal law, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which I mentioned earlier today, forbids job discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or transgender status. We celebrate. I am indeed a father, and I lift up fathers this day. I lift up biological fathers, and I lift up fathers who came to us by circumstance to fill a father's role. All of those men who helped to raise us, we give thanks for them as I do my own father. Happy Father's Day to all those dads and to my dad as well. I turn now to Wayne Zaretter to let us know about other emailed prayer concerns or celebrations that may have arrived before or during worship today. Wayne?
Good morning. Thoughts and prayers go out to Barbara and her husband as they deal with her stage 4 pancreatic cancer diagnosis. We join with Michelle Matera in praying for Kat as she takes her GRE test this week to get into law school. Prayers of celebration for the recent birth of baby Mateo in Boston and Viola in Anchorage, Alaska, both children arriving to loving families after many years of anticipation. Their loving families are friends of Jeanette. Lastly, we join with Laura and Charles Gabron in celebrating the marriage of their nephew and godson, Elliot Simon, to Nicole Tessier in Santa Clara, California, in a Zoom ceremony on Friday, June 19th. We send them our love and prayers for many wonderful years as husband and wife.
Thank you, Wayne. This morning, instead of our usual morning prayer, we will instead lift up a litany adapted from Lift Every Voice and Sing, that hymn written by James Weldon Johnson, a Juneteenth litany. This morning's opening prayer and our final hymn, Lift Every Voice and Sing, are based on poetry from James Weldon Johnson. Many people are often surprised to learn that Lift Every Voice and Sing was first a poem, and it was performed for the first time by 500 school children in celebration of President Abraham Lincoln's birthday on February 12th, 1900 in Jacksonville, Florida. The poem was set to music by Johnson's brother, John Rosamond Johnson, and it was soon adopted by the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, as its official song. Today, Lift Every Voice and Sing is one of the most cherished songs of the African-American civil rights movement and is often referred to as the Black National Anthem. James Weldon Johnson was born in Florida in 1871 and was a national organizer for the NAACP and an author of poetry and nonfiction. He also wrote several poetry collections and novels, often exploring racial identity and the African-American folk tradition. We're going to sing that hymn a little bit later, but for now, we're going to draw from it as a litany on the occasion of Juneteenth weekend and to express our commitment to being instruments for the ending of systemic racism and white supremacy. So please join me in this responsive litany. Celebration rises up from the deep places, finding voice in the light and air no longer denied.
Lift every voice and sing. Sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty.
Celebration rises, not blind to the suffering, not blind to the sorrow. Celebration comes at a cost.
Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary feet come to the place for which our parents sighed.
Celebration rises, remembering the way we have come, the paths taken that have brought us here now to this place and time and celebration. Celebration rises up and up full of remembering, remembering the ones who led to freedom by Harriet, remembering lives and freedom stolen, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Rayshard Brooks, Tony McDade, and a long line of others before them.
We have come over a way that with tears has been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last where the white gleam of our bright star is cast.
Celebration rises, recognizing what has been done and left undone, knowing there is still and yet much to do, so much further to go. Celebration rises, naming the victories, recognizing the challenges yet ahead. Celebration rises on voices offering unfinished praise.
Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee, lest our hearts drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee.
Celebration rises, resisting illusions to be embraced by the real and abiding presence of God who breaks our chains and sets us free for freedom in power and love and joy.
God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on our way, thou who has by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray.
Celebration rises with the power of healing wings and promise to endure. Celebration rises, celebrating that by God's grace, I am because you are. You are because I am. Celebrating that the fullness of my humanity does not diminish yours, and the fullness of your humanity does not diminish mine.
Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land, true to who we are, true to who we have been, and who we are becoming. Thanks be to God.
Holy and gracious God, you created us in your image. Grant us grace to contend fearlessly against evil and to make no peace with oppression.
Help us, like those of generations before us, who resisted the evil of slavery and human bondage in any form and any manner of oppression. Help us to use our freedoms to bring justice among people and nations everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Beloved God sends us out into the world to accept the cost and to discover the joy of discipleship. Therefore, go carrying with you the peace of Christ, the love of God, and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit in trial and in rejoicing. Go now to serve. Amen. Thank you.